Yo, my people, welcome to episode 5 of Rants and Randomness. I am Lovie Ajayi, your side-eye sorceress and resident shade queen. This is my podcast where I talk about all things pop culture and relevant to our lives. I am excited to be here at Chicago Recording Company and working with Sav Media on this. In this episode, I talk about the feel-good of how my nephew sees me. He's 13. He's unimpressed by anything, and apparently he's impressed by what I do. I rant about how I would rather ride a goat, okay, than fly Spirit Airlines. I'm spotlighting Will Smith's Instagram, yo. Like, his randomness is everything I love. And I am interviewing my boy, Abiola Oke of Oke Africa. So let's jump in. It's going to be a good show. Yo, so what made me feel good this week was my nephew, who is 12. No, I think he just turned 13. Look at me. I'm terrible. He's a teenager. And I don't really talk to him about my career, but apparently he watches TED Talks, and he found one of my TED Talks and was like, oh my gosh, so impressed by it. But I don't really think about how my nephews and my nieces think about me in terms of what I do and the awesomely loviness and the writing and the professional troublemaking. But I found out that my nephew wrote about me in his school essay. Keep in mind, he's like really chill, really even keel. He's never impressed by anything. He's like really quiet, a man of few words, okay? And he minds his business. So I didn't even know he was paying attention to me besides when he saw my TED Talk. Well, he ends up telling me, yeah, like, so I wrote about you in my school essay. And I was like, oh, my gosh, send it to me. Y'all, this dude almost made me cry. I'm going to read what he said about me. As my aunt, blogger Lovie Ajayi, often expresses with great maturity and delicacy in her blogs, she believes that it is empowering to see people like her succeeding in what they do. The majority of people will agree with her viewpoint that seeing people who lead similar lives to you and celebrate the same culture as you will be more inspiring when they become prosperous, as it makes people feel related to them. Lovie's insightful perspective helps people understand how powerful celebrating specific cultures can be to people young and old. Y'all, I done inspired a 12-year-old. I have made it. This is my mama, I made it moment. It meant so much to me because you never realize who's paying attention, even when they are right there in front of you. And the way he even described how I write, I was like, oh my gosh. Also, we might have a budding writer in the family, because that is a really good passage. I didn't even write like that at 12. So I'm just like, let me find out. He about to be a writer out here. I'm just impressed. Things like this keep me going, because I realize that even when I don't know who I am touching with my words and the intention that is coming across, I need to keep doing it. And he sees me. And that passage let me know that. So, man, the warm and fuzzies, man, the warm and fuzzies. Thanks, Tony. All right, so my rant this week is about how I would rather ride a goat than take Spirit Airlines. I have very few arch nemesis. One of them is Spirit Airlines. Yes, like a whole company is my arch nemesis. It's like, they're like the Voldemort to my Harry Potter. Let me tell you what happened. So probably like 6 or 7 years ago, I was going to Florida. I was super broke. I was going for my friend's graduation. So I saw a cheap fare. I was like, oh, snap. $150 round trip to go to Florida? Absolutely. I'm doing it. I buy a ticket, show up to the airport, and I go to the kiosk to print a boarding pass. And it said $7 to print the boarding pass. And I was like, wow, how did I miss that? Okay, fine. I'll pay the $7 to print my boarding pass, because I don't think my phone had like the mobile boarding pass at that point. So I print the boarding pass, and the woman at the kiosk is like, yeah, so that's your luggage? And I was like, yeah. She's like, great, checking in? Yeah, that'll be $50. Bruh, okay. At this point, I'm like, dang it. And she's like, oh, and you also have a backpack. That'd be like another 15 or 30. I was like, bruh, what? I had to do it because I had no other choice. But I was fuming because I'm just like, did I miss a glaring jumping sign that was saying that I was going to be charged for everything? Apparently I did. You know what? Maybe it's my fault that I didn't read. Then we get on the flight. The seats did not recline. And it was a flight from Chicago to freaking Fort Worth or something like that. No. Yeah. No, that's in Dallas. I don't know. Well, Fort Lauderdale. There we go. Fort Lauderdale. Sorry. I don't be paying attention to Florida. Anyway, no shade. So the seats did not recline. So I'm sitting up front, like, so I'm just going to look like one of those, what's that, diagrams? Like when you sit down and your back is straight? That. The entire time. So then I asked for water, and they were like, oh, yeah, we can only give you, like, a cup of water before we can charge you for it. I was like, already I'm just mad and I'm pissed that I made this terrible decision to fly this airline. Because coming back, I faced the same thing. So my $150 original flight ended up costing me like close to $300. So ever since, they have been on my shit list. So I wrote a blog post about it a long time ago to warn other people because I feel like friends need to warn other friends about taking shitty airlines. And I wrote a post called Break Your Spirit Airlines is the Worst. It's like the black licorice in the skies. So I talked about it on social media and other people joined to give me their experiences of flying on Spirit Airlines. And y'all, the comments had me hollering. Somebody said, I refer to them as the bring your own folding chair airliner. That is true. They might be asking you to bring your own chair soon. Somebody said, I flew Spirit to ATL 1 year. I was with musicians. I remember feeling like we were in a bad C movie. It was really hot and the plane was sweating so much on the inside, but only sweating in the rear part of the plane where we were sitting. Water was dripping down from the plane. Somebody else said, Spirit Airlines is for husbands with two families and clothing on each end because you can't pack nothing with you. They will charge you for it. Somebody said, never again. I got off that flight wanting to hit everybody with my purse that they made me pay for to bring on. They make you pay for purses, y'all. Like, you're carrying on, you're paying for that. Somebody said, those planes are held together with bubble gum and paper clips. True. And then someone on Twitter sent me a photo of them taking a Spirit Airlines flight, I think, to Mexico, and their window was taped together with duct tape. I have evidence. This is real. Y'all, listen. When you see the cheap fare, I need you to dig deeper, okay? You might only be able to bring in a fanny pack and a bottle of water, and even that bottle of water that you bring in, you might want to call ahead to see if they're going to charge you for it. Go ahead, pay regular price on every other airline because by the time you are done with Break Your Spirit Airlines, you're paying the same exact fare for half the convenience. So yeah, don't fly them. I want better for you. I love you too much for that. Go ahead and just pay for another ticket with somebody else. Yo, my randomness for this episode is Will Smith's Instagram, y'all. Have you been on Will Smith's Instagram account? It is the most lit, most best life living Instagram account. One day he's the life coach that you need. The next day he's peak dad. The day after that, he's like the best friend you want to hang out with. Will Smith has always been people love, of course. All his movies, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And in the era of social media, celebrities are realizing that they can't just be mysterious anymore. Unless you're like Sade, who only pops up once every 7 years and we agree. We're fine. Queens don't social. That's cool. But Will popped up on Instagram and, like, changed everybody's life because he's this dude who's just living life loud as he wants to do it. One day he's telling Jaden goodbye because he's going to miss him. The next day he's, like, complaining about wearing Christmas pajamas. And then he's taking salsa lessons from Mark Anthony. It's so fun to watch him be this person because this is kind of the person you expected him to be. So to get the confirmation is double awesome. And he just be dropping gems. I remember the piece he wrote about, like the piece that he talked about how just being your best self. I was like, Will, you better go ahead and preach and be a deacon out here. Yeah, like you definitely want to follow his Instagram it'll make your feed way more happy. And it's just fun. And I really enjoy celebrities who aren't afraid to show their lives. Of course, they ain't got to show all of their lives, but he's showing the pieces that brings us in and makes us fall in love with him more often. So go ahead, follow at Will Smith on Instagram. Tell him I sent you. He gonna be like, who is Lovey? I'm Will. You gotta know who I am, man. Come on. Maybe one day, I'm gonna say dream come true would be like getting Will Smith as a guest on Rants and Randomness. I'm just gonna put that out there in the universe and let it do what it do. So, word. All right. So, I am excited for today's guest interview because I think it's going to be good. My guest is Abiola Oke, CEO of Oke Player and Oke Africa. Oke Player is an 18-year-old media company founded by Questlove of the Roots, serving rich commentary on Black culture. And Oke Africa is the leading media company of its kind, connecting the global audience to Africa. As a passionate activist and humanitarian, Abby serves on the board of MoCada, which is the Museum of Contemporary Diaspora Arts, Face Africa, and he's the ambassador of the he's an ambassador of the Monrovia Football Academy. Basically, Abby be doing a lot because he's trying to change the world, but he also happens to be one of my good friends and member of the West African Voltron, which is my squad of Ghanaians, Nigerians, and we have one person from Cameroon who are doing dope things and insulting each other through it and cheering each other on. So, Abby, welcome to Rant and Randomness.
Thank you for having me, Lovey. Damn, I've been doing the most.
You're doing the most. Look, are we not team too much all the time?
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
We are team too much. So, Abby had asked me, like, so what are you going to ask me? I was like, nah. This got to be a surprise. I got to keep you on your toes, okay? So, my first question for you, because you used to be in finance, is what did you want to be when you were growing up?
Man, that's a tough one. It's funny you asked that question because, well, one of the things I definitely wanted to be, I always wanted to be a musician, an actor, and I wanted to run for president. Those are the things.
Wait. I have questions. Wait. You wanted to be a musician, an actor, and run for president. President of what country? Because you're a Niger man. So what country did you want to run for president?
I wanted to run for president of Nigeria. I always wanted to run for president of Nigeria. Yeah.
I need to know my friends better because this is the first time I'm ever hearing you talk about this. Why? Like, what made you want to do that?
So I grew up in a political family. My father was a political scientist. He actually went to the New School. His father was always into politics. Actually, how I got my name was Mko Abiola, who was Nigeria's wealthiest businessman, and subsequently actually won a presidential election at some point in time. He was good friends with my grandfather, and that's how I got named. So my parents have always been involved in politics and activism in some very strange ways. And because of that, I always kind of felt that it was a calling for me to kind of carry on that legacy of political influencers in the country. That's how that happened.
So do you still actually have that as a goal, as a dream?
I may or may not.
You can't tell us.
I can't tell you now.
I can't tell you. So what is, like, again, like, I know your family, like, basically wanted to change the world. What do you think, in Nigeria anyway, is, like, a change that if you could snap your finger today that you would make?
I would, the change is to make, to have Nigerians take more pride in themselves and in their country. One of the things.
You want us to be more proud than we already are?
I know. So, you know, this is really interesting, right? Because we are really proud people. But I think that we are more proud of our heritage than we are our country, right? We are proud of our culture, but we're not nationalistic. Like, if you look, you know what's so interesting about America is that every single group, whether you're in a disenfranchised group or not, everyone has a claim to American nationalism, right? Everyone wants to be the model of what an American is, right? Group is like, nah, we are more American because, you know, we fought in World War II and we did this. We're American because this is our land. Everyone wants to be American. And they fight that battle from, you know, from the legislative branch to executive. I mean, like, every single aspect of the country. And in Nigeria, it's more, well, I'm a Yoruba person. I'm an Igbo person. Mm.
We're tribal. We're tribalistic.
Tribalistic. So I think that sense of nationalism will translate into, better systems, more investment in the country. There's an intellectual sort of an intellectual decay or aversion to intellectualism in Nigeria that I would also want to see changed. You know, so things like that.
But you know what? People actually have the same critique for America. Like, people say Americans can be quite anti-intellectual.
True, true.
I've seen a story actually recently written in a mainstream magazine recently. I cannot remember which one that said that same thing. So it sounds like a universal problem.
It is a universal problem. You know, it is. But I think what I love about this country, or at least the things that I can see that we can emulate from this country, is that there is, you know, this dedication to the founding fathers and the founding ideals of the nation, you know, and there's that commitment to it. And I don't know what that is for us, right? It's not our constitution. Like, there is this ideal, like even this debate around guns, like there's no amount of rationality that you can present to an American citizen where they won't trump you with that amendment. You know what I mean?
Mm,
and I even take it one step further to say the black slaves, the African slaves that were taken all around the world, the reason that the African slaves, in my opinion, thrived in America was because of America's commitment to freedom of speech. And that commitment to freedom of speech allowed African slaves to hold American society accountable to that. And that is nationalism. That's powerful. You know, we can always hold people to the Constitution accountable to
that.
I mean, that's
actually pretty interesting. This is also in the era of Black Panther being out and the conversation happening in Black Panther about the tension between Africans and African Americans. And it's a conversation that you actually interviewed Ryan Coogler about after a screening of Black Panther that OK Africa did at the Brooklyn Museum.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on that? Like, what do you think is happening with that tension?
So between African and African Americans, I think, you know, look, we have had, you know, our history severed, right? And we African Americans don't really know Africa in the way that we know Africa for a number of reasons, right? I mean, you know, like, they don't live there. The culture is different. African American culture has, like Ryan Coogler says, it's kind of like this perspective that it's a bastardized culture. But, you know, African Americans developed a culture out of, you know, constant oppression with a strong desire to remain connected back to the continent. And what I thought was really interesting in my conversation with Coogler, with Ryan, was that his account on how there is still so much similarity between African American culture and African culture anywhere on the continent. So we're not that far off from one another.
We're not. I feel like we've been told that we're far off from each other. Like, our music, the way we move naturally, like, the way we have swag, it's so similar. I feel like we've just been told that we're not similar anymore. I'm like, nah. People brought over some culture of, like, West Africans over that ocean. And to validate that is important.
I agree. I mean, you know, there are groups down south, there are groups in New Orleans called the Geechee Gullah. Those folks, you know, they're probably the most connected to Africa in terms of, you know, how much of the culture they were able to preserve. You know, there's so much diversity and depth and breadth to, you know, African culture, to Black culture. And you easily immediately see all the commonalities between all of us. I mean, I've been to some barbecues and I'm like, you know, like, this is just like a braai, you know, in South Africa, or, you know, like even the music, you know, it's funny because some will talk about the decline of hip hop. But you take a guy like, I've always thought this was really interesting. You take a guy like Young Thug. Yo, the way Young Thug, his cadence and the way he delivers music, it sounds like a Yoruba priest chanting. You know what I mean?
Mm.
right?
That's a good point. I never thought about it like that.
So, like, there's so much that we haven't lost, but it's just manifested in a different way. You know what I mean? And what makes Black Panther? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and I also think it's just important for people to understand that culture evolves. So what African Americans do here is no less valid than what Africans are doing over there, because we create culture out of necessity. We create culture out of our everyday world. So the devaluing of African Americans who eat a certain, like eat chitlins, even though people make jokes about it, it's like they had to at one point.
Yep.
And they fell in love with the taste. So it's, I guess for me, what Black Panther did was kind of reconfirm that our jobs right now as the people who are like super African is also to make sure we're not disaffirming African Americans in all the things that they do.
Correct, correct. And so much, so many of our, and you know, our parents and our parents' parents' generation did that, again, out of ignorance, because they, you know, they were fed a version of Black American culture that was incomplete and that was, you know, void of any nuance, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they did, you know, African Americans did what they had to do to, you know, again, all of this culture wasn't just simply, like, African American culture is not, it's not assimilation culture. Right. It's not like as if they want. It's ironic because we are more, you know, in Africa, at least I find Africans to be more bad imitations of Europeans than African-Americans.
Yes. Facts.
You know what I mean? So,
yep.
Like who exactly is, you know, who are we to criticize African-Americans and vice versa? You know,
Yeah. When we go back to Nigeria, you see how it's like in the club. They playing everything that they think people are playing here.
Absolutely.
So it's hilarious that then Africans, some Africans will look down on African-Americans when it's like, yo, people over there trying to be like African-Americans here.
Absolutely.
So it's this, like, let's keep it real 100 and keep it cute that there's, on both sides, we've got to know that everyone's trying to be like the other person. And, yeah.
Yeah. So, but, you know, but it's good to see also, but, you know, it's not all conflict. It's good to see that, you know, there are more African-Americans than any other time that are coming to, they're visiting Africa. More African Americans are testing their DNA and wanting to find out where their, you know, where their roots are, you know, but not just where they, what countries they come from. I think African ancestry is a bit more specific in that it will, you know, tell you which cultural group you are from, right?
Yeah.
You have more collaborations between African American artists and African artists. You're seeing more performances and showcases. You're seeing fashion designers get global appeal, African fashion. And, you know, it's an amazing time. Like, you know, you and I grew up, you know, like in, you know, in the 80s. So we know what it was like, you know, and the 90s, what it was like being an African in America. And
It wasn't easy.
And it's amazing to see that we are now starting to find, you know, inspiration in one another. You know, African Americans are, you know, like, you know, you saw Solange's entire project was, I mean, that was undeniably inspired by Africans on the continent.
Yeah.
And even Afro Beats, it's undeniable that Afro Beats artists, their presentation is inspired by African American culture, you know?
Yeah.
So there's this exchange, which is just amazing to see, and this validation of ourselves, not like, you know, we're not even looking for, you know, the others to validate us anymore. It's like
the colonizers.
Yeah, the colonizers. Exactly, you know?
I mean, I think it is also like prime time for us to realize that like the influence of colonialism across the globe has done a lot of work on us. So now we got to do is come together and show that we're a power unit. Africans and African Americans and just Black people across the diaspora, we are a power unit.
I agree. I agree. And that's really where I think the power is going to come from, is once we start to understand our economic wealth and our, you know, our economic power. You know, you got guys like, you know, Rich Dennis, who's just doing amazing things. He's a gentleman who bought Essence recently, one of the founders of Shea Moisture, Sundial Brands. And, yep. you know, his ethos, you know, he constantly talks about this community commerce model. And, you know, for him, it's about how do we continue to bridge that gap? You know, I've had a number of conversations with him to see that, wow, like, so you are really, you know, you're putting your money where your mouth is. And there are a lot of other people like that who are, you know, looking to build economic power for, you know, Black people globally. And I think that that's really where we will see the most significant shift. Once we start to say, hey, Lovey, you know, you're trying to do this project, you know, you're trying to make this movie. Here's $5 million, you know, here's $20 million budget. Go make that movie. You know, you need distribution. Okay, I got my boy Tanjay, who has a film distribution company. He's going to help you distribute the project. And, you know, like, that's really where we start to see the power. You know,
speaking of movies, yeah. You and I just did this skit with like Amazon Studios and Yvonne Orji and Clarity about Gringo, a movie that's coming out that actually is already out, starring David Oyelowo, who's playing a Nigerian man with a Yoruba accent, but it's like in a mainstream movie, which actually brings me to he is your famous twin. I need, if y'all are listening to this, in the graphic that I will post of this podcast episode, you will see Abiola's picture. He looks just like David Oyelowo. I want you to talk about that. Didn't you meet his dad?
So I met, it's funny because, you know, Yvonne had sent me a message saying, Yvonne Orji had sent me a message like, hey, you want to do this this thing, this skit? I was like, wait, what is it? And she was like, yo, it's like for the Gringo. I was dying, right? Because I've been hearing that he and I look alike for so long. And I got a chance to meet him briefly when he just made the, I want to say it's the United Kingdom, what's the name of that movie? It was a film about colonialism. He was an African who was married to a South African, I'm mixing up the movies. But basically, I had met him and, at that point in time, I was like, okay, there's something here. But his dad was literally like, yo, like looking at me funny in the kitchen, like, wait, what's going on over here? Like, do I have a son that I don't know about or something?
Yo, y'all look just alike. I'm to the point where like David ends up calling in on FaceTime and he's like, I think I'm over there right now.
And then we did an Instagram FaceTime thing, you know, like, and now he's growing his beard out and I got a beard as well. You know, hey man, you know, Lovey, I told you, acting was one of my first passions. I might just start taking whatever roles, you know, make them work a little harder.
You're gonna be David's stunt double. I'm gonna be like, Lord Abby done became a stunt double. This useless goat is now a stunt double. I'm actually surprised you want to be an actor. Really? So what is the most common misconception that other people have about you?
So, you know, it's so funny because when I was in, okay, so my acting started in Nigeria. There's a television station, one of the oldest television stations in Africa. It's called NTA, Nigerian Television.
Yes.
So I did a play where I played a king. I was probably in, I want to say, fifth or sixth grade, and it aired on national television on this NTA.
What?
Yeah. And then when I was in high school, in like, you know, my second to last year of high school in Nigeria, there was a play called the Ides of March, where a gentleman who is a judge, he thought that because he was a little corrupt, he thought that he was going to be killed on the day that Julius Caesar was killed. So he was really nervous. And we had to get the rights from the script writer in London to actually act that play out in high school. And then when I came, when I came to the States, I was in some music videos. I was in a Lauryn Hill music video.
What? Wait, yeah. Which one? I need to know which one.
It was the one where like the city is like a big record player. I forget the name.
Is it That Thing?
That Thing. Yes. Do I? Oh. So I was an extra. Oh, I was like an extra on set. But there was this one film where like till this day, like I know exactly, like, you know, like I'm you can see me like in the stand in the audience. It was a Lisa Kudrow and Damon Wayans movie.
Yo, your life is so random.
So random. And I was in that. I was in that film as an extra. So like that was always like something I wanted to do. And then I started to try to do music production. My parents used to think that I would like, you know, be a big time music producer. I had like a whole demo tape. I used to rap. You know, like I used to date. Yeah, like I used to date this girl at the time who worked at Sony Studios. And I would go and meet these music executives at Sony Studios down near, like, I want to say 56th and 11th Ave. And I would be playing these guys my beats.
Yo, what? Yeah. I'm shocked because people see you as, like, you're the dude who shows up to an event wearing a three-piece suit, like, carrying a briefcase. Who would have thunk it? You trying to be an artist?
Yo, I was, listen, I used to, so here's another crazy thing. I used to rap. Like, I used to really, like, freestyle. And I was at Howard for a year, and I would go around campus battling cats, you know, like...
Oh my God, I need to talk to my friends more often because this is new information.
Yeah, I was like, my name was, I went through many different names. Like, I was a Wicked Cat one time, and then then somebody changed my name to Vodka. It was an old time, man. I had do-rags and earrings and yeah.
Yo, I'm shocked, yo. I had no clue. So then how did you go from that to being the dude who was in finance to then being the dude who runs OK Africa, who is now also running OK Player? What was that?
So, you know, that's interesting because I've always gravitated towards the arts. My dad also was kind of like a Renaissance man. When he was younger, he had a band. He wanted to be a boxer. He wanted to do all these things. So I was always inspired by my father's ambition. And I wanted to do it all also. But, you know, you have the reality of growing up in a Nigerian household where they're like, look, I don't care what you do, but make sure you get this degree and make sure you go to school, you know? So like, I initially wanted to be a doctor. So I was at Howard.
Me too.
Yeah, right? Yo, but that chemistry, that chemistry, yeah.
Yo, chemistry 101 of freshman year of college when I got the first D of my academic career is when I was like, you know what, Jesus, I don't even like hospitals. This ain't gonna work.
Yeah. So that was like, yeah, I was like, nah, this organic chemistry ain't for me. So I left City College. I mean, I left Howard, and then I went to City College and studied finance. I studied economics with a specialization in finance. And it was always a dream of mine to work at, you know, one of the big investment banks. So I was working at Morgan Stanley at the time, and I hated it. You know, I hated the job. I hated the industry. I hated the culture. But I did that for about 10 years. Between Morgan.
You did something you hated for 10 years?
Yeah, I did something I hated for 10 years. You know, that's interesting because I really hated it. And I think that, you know, I jumped around to a couple of other banks, Citigroup, Bank of Barclays. And what kept me sane was that while I was doing the banking work, every time I got home, there was some creative or artistic expression that I would sink myself into, whether it's painting, whether it's writing, whether it's making music, whether it's trying to find acting gigs. You know, I was always motivated and inspired by that. And so that kept my sanity. And then shortly after, I met a gentleman who, when I had had enough, I was at Barclays and I quit cold turkey. I had no options. I didn't know what I was going to do. I knew that I needed to put myself in an uncomfortable position to follow my dreams, right? Because, again, I did this for 10 years. I was comfortable. Money was good. I knew what I had to do. You know, I was moving up the ladder. And I just said, you know what? I can't do this anymore. And I just quit. And, when I quit, I had been talking to a gentleman who was a gentleman by the name of Stephen Hendel, who produced Fella on Broadway.
Yep.
And... Yep. Fella was an amazing show, and he was telling me about a company that he had invested in called OK Africa, and OK Africa was about 4 years old at the time, and it was an affiliate. It was a sister company to OK Player, which obviously, as you know, was started by the Roots in 1999 which became a platform for, you know, the Soulquarians and people who identified and loved music by the likes of Erykah Badu, Common, Dilla, Questlove, The Roots, D'Angelo, and so on and so forth. That company had already been around for, you know, like 13 years by the time I came on board to join OK Africa. And the company had about 4 employees at the time. Now, you know, we have like, you know, we have an office in South Africa, an operation in the UK, an operation in Nigeria. We've got, you know, what, 17 employees now in total. In November of last year, I also became CEO of OK Player as well, which is obviously, you know, 17 years in black media is like an eternity, you know?
Yeah.
So I definitely feel the weight of that on me. But I know that, you know, to take these companies and to take these organizations and to continue to grow them, it's all about rooting and it's all about being rooted in authenticity and in capturing the spirit of, you know, young black creatives and sharing that with the world in an authentic manner, right? A true a commitment to craft. So yeah, it's been an interesting journey to say the least. The last, you know, 3 years of my life.
So as you're doing all of these things, what are you doing for self-care? And you are bad at this, but I want you to answer anyway.
Man. That's tough, man. I gotta say, it's
tough.
I be
getting on you about it, Abby.
You do, lovey. You do. Like, I gotta say, you definitely do. You know, it's tough. My friend who's a personal trainer just hit me up recently asking me if I could let him train me. And I recently just downloaded this app called Calm. And it's a meditation app. And I'm going to start meditating. I gotta be honest with you. I have not done the best job. Thank goodness for good genes, but I have not done the best job at taking care of myself. What I did commit to this year, though, is that I won't wait till the end of the year to start taking vacation. I'm going to take quarterly vacations.
Yes.
And just like not say yes to everything, like say no, you know, like I was supposed to be at the Grand during in L.A. for all the Oscar events. And I just said, you know what? Nah, I'm not doing it. I'm just going to sit my ass home and just, you know, chill.
We got to say no to people to say yes to ourselves. And I know you and I be having moments of FOMO, fear of missing out. We're like, dang.
Like, damn.
Dang, I wish I could be there. But honestly, we cannot be everywhere all the time. It's a problem. And we try, though. We try.
We try. You saw them Vanity Fair photos.
Yo, I'm not even going to lie. I had FOMO. I was like, Jesus. I should have been there. But then I was like, wait a minute. No. You need to be at home on your couch.
Yep. You know, I was like, damn. And, then, you know, what's her name? Janelle Monáe had her event, you know, the women in Hollywood. It was just a whole bunch of really cool events. But, you know, you're right. At some point, you just got to say, nah. It's a whole year.
Yeah, because after we did all the All-Star Weekend shenanigans, you got sick for 4 days.
Yep. I was like, and that was when my body was pretty much telling me, okay, you got to take care of yourself. So the good thing is I have been going to bed a lot earlier. And I had, you know, and ultimately I think it boils down to trusting the people that you work with, trusting the people to figure it out, right? You don't have to figure everything out. You don't have to have all the answers, you know? People can fail and people can learn and that will allow you to have a better balanced life, you know, is to trust the people around you to do the things that you've put them in place to do. And that's one of the things that I'm definitely learning more of is to trust the people around me.
Yes, you need to. So I'm going to keep in mind that you say you're going to have a new personal trainer. Mm-hmm. Take him up on that offer. You're going to take him up on that offer because we got to stop coasting on our genes. Okay, mm-hmm. The genetic blessings can only go so far. So,
yep.
And the Calm app is a good idea and you saying no. So I'm going to remember that, Abby, because you don't sit down.
It's tough. You know, there's a lot to do, Lovey. There's a lot to do. But, you know, we can't do it all. But, you know, then again, I'm like, you know, but why can't we, you know? But seriously, if I'm not healthy, then I can't do anything, you know? So
it's
important, you know, you guys, Waves is good at trying to, even though all of us in the Waves group, like, we're all bad.
We're terrible. We are terrible at taking care of ourselves.
We really are, you know? We really, really are. But this year, I'm definitely committed to it. Shout out to my personal trainer-to-be, Paul, author, you know, our Ghanaian brother. He's gonna be working out with me. All right.
Well, I appreciate you for stopping by Rant and Randomness. Like, you know, I'm pointing all my friends, like, y'all, come on, let's have good conversations. So,
oh, listen, when I heard you got a podcast, I was like, oh man, this is it. Lovey's about to be lit right now.
That's the goal. You know? Lituation.
Big mouth.
Yeah, useless goats. You're my favorite useless goats. You really are. So, shout out to you. Thank you so much for joining this podcast. This is so good. I actually learned a lot about you, Abby.
Thank you very much, Lovey. No, I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot, you know. So, we'll talk more in person, but there's a whole lot to talk about.
Absolutely. Always. Love you. Right.
Thank you. Love
I'll
you
holler.
Too, Lovey. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
So shout out to my homie Abiola OK for joining me. Y'all can follow him on social media at Abiola OK everywhere. That's ABIOLAOKE. And check out OKPlayer.com and OKAfrica.com because they're incredible platforms. And much love to Chicago Recording Company and Sav Media for partnering with me on Rants and Randomness. Y'all make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, on Google Play Music, on Stitcher. You can also check out rantsandrandomness.com. Make sure you rate this podcast. I need your ratings. Also, use the hashtag rantsandrandomness on social media to discuss what you've listened to and let me know what you think. As always, you can follow me on social at Lovey Everywhere. That's L-U-V-V-I-E. See you on the next episode of Rants and Randomness.